Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner on WAMC, and our guest is Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. The Democrat has been in office since 2013 after his long career in the House. Senator, there is a lot of stuff to get through today, so I'll ask you as many as I can. To begin with, there was a vote in the Senate the other day over access to IVF, in vitro fertilization, and that went down, of course. So that kind of centers the issue of reproductive rights in this election. What do you want people to know about where your head is on that right now?
Well, IVF should be a right, and the resources should be accessible for families that need IVF. The decision on whether or not to have an abortion should be a conversation between a woman and her family and her physician. And on contraception, it was my bill that came out onto the Senate floor that put all of the senators on record on the right to access to contraception, to birth control. And believe it or not, only three Republicans voted to guarantee the right to contraception, the right to birth control. So the Republicans are telling on themselves. They don't support the right to birth control, to IVF or to abortion. And what we did was we just put them on the record. And a lot of them are going to be absolutely paying a punishing price for now revealing what their true feelings are on this issue. And we shouldn't be in any way in doubt, because Justice Thomas, in his concurring opinion on the Dobbs decision, that is the decision that repealed Roe versus Wade, he said we should revisit contraception. We should revisit same-sex marriage. And by the way, the first couple was out in Northampton. That's the origin of this. Same-sex marriage. Matter of fact, on the celebration of that legislation, the couple came out onto the lawn of the White House. I was there that day. I was just so proud of them. So this is just an incredible moment. And on all those issues, I just think the Republicans don't understand how absolutely dangerous for them personally, politically, the positions that they've taken are putting them. So abortion, IVF, same-sex marriage, contraception, these are all things that the people in the Berkshires agree on absolutely overwhelmingly.
Since you've raised the question of the Supreme Court, both you and actually President Biden have proposed different sorts of reforms that might change how the court operates and the number of people on the court. What do you specifically want to see happen?
Well, from my perspective, I think the American people have lost faith in the Supreme Court. The polling says it's at its lowest number in history. It's lost like 20 to 25 points in favorability just in the last 3 or 4 years. So, in my opinion, we should abolish the filibuster and then expand the court by 4 so that we reclaim the 2 stolen seats, the seat that they did not give to Barack Obama when Justice Scalia died, and then the seat that they just jammed through with a 1 week before the election in 2020 that appointed Amy Coney Barrett. Okay, just absolutely unbelievable. Because the highest court in the land has become the source of the lowest principles in the land. And if we're going to correct this problem, we have to do it soon. Because if we take all of the time that some people are recommending, it could take 15 to 20 years to change the court. And by then, they will have reversed all of the environmental, labor protection, civil rights, health care, education laws that we have put on the books over the last two generations. They're all on the table. If they can go back all the way 50 years to Roe versus Wade, there's absolutely nothing that is going to be considered sacred, even though those 3 judges in their confirmation hearing all said that precedent was very important to them. It turns out precedent doesn't mean anything to them, and we should be afraid, and that's why the Supreme Court has to be expanded.
Now, the Supreme Court gave former President Trump some really key rulings in recent months with questions about presidential immunity and so on. So here's a question for you. If we get to an election night where, you know, it seems like Donald Trump has lost and he doesn't accept the outcome, what kind of scenarios are you worried about in the aftermath of November 5th, based on what we saw in 2020?
Well, you're exactly right. The Supreme Court gave immunity to Donald Trump, and they took away the right to abortion to the women of America. And I just think it's a preview of coming atrocities in our country. And I'm very afraid of what could happen if Donald Trump loses this election narrowly in a small handful of states, in terms of rulings that this Supreme Court might issue that would protect him against actions he would take to overturn the elections in key states, or to have his acolytes, his supporters in those key states, like Georgia or North Carolina, for example, engage in underhanded activity that actually tips the scales in a very close election, but by violating heretofore sacred constitutional principles. And I'm just afraid there'll be no rules in terms of what the president can do with immunity to move into those states to overturn those elections. So we have to be very careful, and that's why the larger the margin in those states is, the more likely that we won't have the Supreme Court being asked to intervene in order to protect against historical unconstitutional activity by Donald Trump, who will argue that he has immunity.
One last thing before we go. You know, immigration is a key issue in the race, obviously. And, you know, Massachusetts hasn't been immune from impacts from the influx of people coming over the southern border. We know the state shelter system is at capacity. And we also know that there's no likelihood of the border deal being resurrected before Election Day, obviously. So where do we go from here? What would you like to see happen, and what should the federal government be doing for Massachusetts?
Well, I think, first of all, that the near-term solution is about to arrive. Electing Kamala Harris is the near-term solution. And it's now, I think, 53 days away. So to the extent to which she is promising to sign the bill which Donald Trump told Republicans they could not vote for, even though it was negotiated with Republicans, there's a very high probability that that bill would be brought out and then passed in the House and Senate in the first couple of weeks of the Harris administration. And simultaneously, I will be working in order to increase funding that will be going to Massachusetts and other states to provide for the resources needed in order to appropriate the resources to process the migrants, to pass a comprehensive pathway to citizenship as well for those people, but to give the resources to Governor Healey, who does need them, in order to take care of the pressure on the Massachusetts state budget.
Now, Republicans say that Harris has already been in charge of working on the border in the Harris-Biden administration so far, and that the issue is not solved. What do you say?
Well, I think that President Trump has the highest prevarication coefficient in the history of chief executives in our nation's history. Kamala Harris was not in charge of the border. Secretary Mayorkas has been in charge of the border. She was in charge of looking at some of the underlying causes in three countries. But the immigration is coming in from Haiti, from Venezuela, from Asia, from all across South America. It's not just three countries, it's country after country. And that was Secretary Mayorkas' job. But she does believe in a comprehensive solution, and she did promise in the debate against Trump that the very piece of legislation to protect the border that Trump opposes, that she would support. So she just, you know, there's an old saying that hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays to virtue. And so that's what happened in that instance. The Trump is just a hypocrite, and he says he cares about it. But when push came to shove, he actually did not want the solution because he'd rather have the issue than have the solution. And Kamala Harris is going to be the solution.
We've been speaking with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat in office since 2013. We're very grateful for all the time you spent here. I know it's not any small thing for a U.S. senator. So thank you very much for coming back, and we'll look forward to the next one.
No, look forward to it. And hopefully it's on a Markey podcast. We can talk about the Green New Deal at length.
What did I get myself into? Okay, it's a deal.